Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to morning prayer. We're going to read from Acts 3 today. Acts 3. But before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning just to be here. So glad that we could meet in your house and seek after you, to know you, to know your word, to seek after your heart and align ourselves with you. Would you give us and bless us today with revelation and understanding of your word, that your word would be more than just more than words, but it would be living bread for us, that it would sustain us and just give us so much purpose and inspiration and motivation to live out this day. We surrender our hearts, minds to you, Lord, as we earnestly seek and desire to have your heart for us this day. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, let's read from Acts 3. We're going to go to we're going to go to verse 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. So this is Acts 3, and this is the first recorded miracle that happens in after Jesus ascends. But there were many miracles that had happened. In Acts 2, at the end of Acts 2, verse 43, so this is after people, Pentecost happens, in verse 43, it says, "Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." So many miracles, supernatural things were happening at this time, but this was the first miracle that was recorded. So let's go through. So it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. So the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. because the day starts in Jewish tradition at 6 a.m. So 6 plus 9 would be about 3 p.m. So this would be 3 p.m. is the hour of prayer where Jews, as part of their tradition, they would always go to pray. So something to note is, even though Peter and John are now, you know, born-again Christians, they're still going and following their old traditions. And of course, it's still aligned. It's not like they're worshiping another an idol, but they are still going about their normal day of life, and they're going to this temple to pray. And it says that there is a lame man born in this condition in his mother's womb, and he was being carried there and by people to beg for alms. So alms are, you know, either food or money. And this isn't something that's just a one-off thing, but it says they used to set him down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So this was something that he had been doing for a long time. Long time. And the gate Beautiful was just the name of this beautiful gate, thus called Beautiful, that was in front of this temple in Jerusalem. But why is this significant is, first of all, is if he had been there for, it'd been ongoing for a long time, then you could also presume that even Jesus, when he used to go pray at the temple, that he had seen him, right? Yet, you know, Jesus, who can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit better than Jesus, yet Jesus didn't heal him, right? And it was disciples who healed him. So that's significant because it's all about God's timing, right? It's part of God's timing and God's plan. Even though, yes, in all those times Jesus had passed him, seeing this man begging for alms, yet he didn't, because he was waiting for this opportunity, Holy Spirit, God, to use the disciples. And as Peter and John, they see this lame man asking for alms, he says to them, or basically, he says, "Look at us." That's already a very different way of approaching people who are asking for things, right? Have you ever, you know, all the people who are asking, Lan Kwai Fong or Central, you see a beggar, and they're, "Hey, can you spare some change?" Do you say, "Look at me"? No, you're kind of, if anything, you try to avoid eye contact oftentimes, right? You just kind of like, "Oh, here you go." You just give what they ask. But they say, basically, "Look at me." So already, first initial response, very different. And he says to the layman, "I do not possess silver and gold." Which might be just is literal, right? Like they just had no money. And he says, "But what I do have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." So even though they might literally not have gold and silver, it kind of worked out even better, because what they're saying is, what you want, you're asking for gold, you're asking for silver, you're asking for money, you're asking for basically a very temporary relief. You want to just have comfort and be able to stand what's going on and just bear what's going on. But Peter and John says, "That's what you're asking for, but I have something so much better to offer." And what he's offering is basically the resurrection power that Jesus has, right? And that's a good reminder for us, especially all of those who have a heart for the poor and want to do outreach. And so I don't think we should use this quote, right? Like if people are asking us for money, we say, "Oh, money I do not have." But what you have, like, actually a huge wad of cash. I think they literally in this situation did not, right? But the point is, we're not as Christians, I mean, we shouldn't go the other end, right? We should love and be there with people. But that's not all. We're not there in this world to just help people to get by. We're here, put on this world, to bring miracles, to bring resurrection power into the world. And that's exactly what Peter and John, that's what they're trying to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, Nazarene, walk. And then it says, and seized him by the right hand. He raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. So if we're to look at this situation of how they did healing and outreach, very, very different from what you would expect, right? And it all comes down to, I think they were in complete obedience and also just walking and abiding in the presence of God. And really, in this situation, it's so abnormal what they're doing. So they are operating in the gift of faith. Like, faith has just come upon them. First, they look at this stranger and says, look at me. And of course, are you going to give me lots of money? And then, he basically, in obedience, in faith, says to this beggar, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Number two, he speaks that rhema word upon this beggar. But still at this point, God has not done anything yet, right? And then finally, the third thing, that rhema word he spoke, he also did it in action, right? Which is crazy. This paralyzed man, he had just the faith to grab him, pull him up to his feet, and says, in the name of Jesus, walk. So, I mean, most of us, we can do the speaking part, right? In the name of Jesus. But how many of us have just someone who's paralyzed, pull them up to their feet? And only when those three things happened, then God's, you know, resurrection power, healing came, and he got up and walked. So don't start doing that. Make sure. But this is not the norm for them either. So the gift of faith was leading them into just doing that. And something significant is what he says after. He says, I do not possess silver and gold. But he says, what I do have, I give to you. What I do have, I give to you. The disciples, it's not that they were operating in their own strength, but they had the presence of God in their lives, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they were offering this lame man. And as we do outreach, right, what are you offering people? Are you just offering your heart, your time, your effort? Which is, I don't want to say those are bad things. Those are also good things. But hopefully you're offering something that you have in you, which is the power of God. And in one sense, he's speaking this over this beggar, right? Which is, I want more. There's so much more for you than just getting by. There's Jesus, this resurrection power. But before we can do that, and just as he speaks, that I can only give what I give, I can only give to you what I have, do we have that resurrection power and experience in our lives as well? Are we just trying to get by? Are we just trying to get by financially? Are we just trying to get by with, you know, kids and stress and work and even church life, our personal life? Is it just so it's good enough and get by so we can eventually experience
heaven. We hear that a lot. Oh, sometimes I think it'll be better just to go to heaven, right? Or is it for our lives that we expect so much more, that when God enters into our life, it's this adventure, really, right? Where you never know what to expect, what he can do, where we can step out in faith and we can step out in obedience, and we don't even know what's going to happen. But then, you know, days or months or even years from now, when you look back, you're like, wow, that was crazy. I obeyed. I didn't know what was going on. And then you were so faithful, and it was like an adventure, right? And that's the life that we're called to lead. And then after the lame man was healed, this was his reaction. It says, with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising. So what's important about this layman was his reaction, right? Which was, he just couldn't contain himself. He had to just tell everyone the good news. We do that with food, but we should also, if we eat something delicious, we gotta tell. I'm like that. Oh, yeah, did you try this new place? You gotta try it. I'm like a food evangelist. But how about when it comes to God, right? Especially when it comes to experiencing God. Sometimes in house church, okay, no house church members, like getting people to share the testimony of what God's done is like pulling teeth. It's like, hey guys, let's testify what's going on. It's awkward silence. And you think, okay, I guess nobody. And then finds like, oh, I got something. And then they share it, very happy, right? But if God did something in your life, you should let it out. Because the whole point is, you're glorifying God. But I think oftentimes people think if they're sharing about how God is moving in their life, it's like glorifying themselves. It's like, I'm showing off. But no, you're glorifying God, right? And I've had a recent testimony. I won't share it because it has nothing to do with this. But I've told it like 3-4 times. And even in part of me, it's like, oh, I don't want to like tell it again. But then every time when I actually do tell it, I'm like so happy, right? Because like, oh, and I get really into it. So for us, yeah, if God is moving in your life, well, first, one, is God moving in your life? Is there things happening in your life? Are you experiencing that resurrection power in your life? Because only if we are, then we can also offer that. Otherwise, you're just offering money. Nothing wrong with that, but God has something so much better than just, you know, money and time and comfort, but he wants to bring transformation. And two, if you are experiencing it, are you glorifying God, letting people know about it? So I want to invite Cindy up. I just felt like today, I just felt like where Holy Spirit's leading us is to challenge us with the point, even before we get to the point of operating in that resurrection power for other people, is even for ourselves. What's the mindset that we have right now? Like, oh, life's good. Things are okay. I'm getting by, whether it be work, relationships, spouse, children. Like, oh, right now it's okay. Ministry, we're just getting by. And maybe there's different circumstances that have happened where, yeah, you're just so busy that you don't even have time to get on your knees to really seek out the Lord. And if that's the case, I mean, maybe repent if that's what you feel led to. But I feel like the Lord is just inviting you now to just call out to Him, to ask Him for help. Lord, help me. I'm struggling with my finances, just making ends meet, and I need you to help. I know you can help. There's so much more to life I know that you've called me to experience, to live. I'm just really just living for myself so much. Or maybe it could be relationships, right? Where you're not experiencing the intimacy and the support from the body of Christ and the brothers and sisters. Maybe you don't even know how to be vulnerable. And yes, just call out to God. Ask for help. Help me. Or maybe you're just having trouble connecting with God, right? But if that's a desire that you have and you recognize, oh, I want more, then yeah, just go before the Lord, ask for His help, confess to Him, Lord, it's been a while where I've experienced Your power, Your resurrection power in my life, and I want that. Just pray.
Never run dry. You never run dry.
Yes, God, we thank you for your gift of your presence, that it would always be with us. Even this Sunday, that a reminder that your presence is with us during the good times, the tough times, the bad times, and even when it's our fault, when it is we choose to, you know, disobey, even then, your presence is with us always, Lord. And we just pray that for so much more, God, not just that your presence would be there with us and that we're aware of your presence, but that we would be able to really partnership with you, that we would be able to experience you, that we would be able to hear your voice so clearly, that we would discern your will, that just as you did with Peter and John and how they were able to operate in such faith, Lord, such boldness, that we too would do the same, Lord, that we would just be so sure as we step out in faith with our own lives, but also as we interact with others, knowing what to say, how to say it, when to say it, Lord, all those things, God. Yeah, and we just desire for more in our lives. We know that there's more, and we want the fullness, God, of experiencing you. Yeah, life with you is not boring, Lord. There's so much more. So, Lord, would you just give us just that meet at that radical middle where we would be so satisfied in your presence, in the life that you have for us, yet we would be so hungry at the same time and always want more, Lord. And even right now, would you cause that hunger in us where perhaps we've hardened our hearts and gotten used to a certain way of life and an expectation, Lord, would you just cause that hunger in us to well up and really hunger for more for you, Lord, and just be able to experience you in the fullness. Thank you in Jesus' name. Let's turn to the screens this morning. Let's cover our community, those who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's continue to lift them up for God to comfort them, to give them strength mentally and physically, and for God's full healing and restoration to come. Let's cover those who are ill but also need word for salvation. The Lord would work through the circumstances to reveal himself, to speak through these people who love those family and friends. Let's also cover those on the list who are sick, suffering from infirmities, for God to heal them. Also cover and lift up Liz. Let's pray that God would just provide working opportunities for other research jobs for Liz, that God would just lead her in the right direction. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG with PSAM Kim and Annie. Let's also lift up Indonesia and our SP Spin, SP Indonesia Ministry in Hong Kong with Pastor Salamat and Mimi. Let's pray for favor, for direction and discernment for the leaders. Cover the prayer and healing ministries. So that would be IP with Matt, The Well with P. Ricky, and River, led by Rachel, but right now Belinda and Janice are helping out. Let's cover these ministries for spiritual protection over all the ministers and people praying. Pray for discernment, and that everyone would just be so abiding in the presence of God in their everyday walk. Cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark, P. Mary Ealing, SP Youth, with P. Nate, SPU, with P. Andrew. Let's pray for the leaders that they would just have a big heart for the students and just to reach out to those students that are also unbelievers and give them strategies as well. And pray for Noah's Ark, not just the students, but also families, that they would all just be on the same page, one accord with this ministry and God. Pray for the Thursday outreach teams, SP Lights, as well as Homey Outreach, just as we shared on the word today. Of course, let's pray for God's overflowing love to be in everyone's life and spill over into the people they interact with, but also pray for God's resurrection power that can touch and transform lives to be upon them. Let's lift up the house churches, East Bay House Church and Olympic. Let's pray for that these house churches would just have a wonderful time of fellowship and unity and finding love and support in their community, a real sense of belonging. Let's pray that God would appear during the house church times, that people would you know, come to be so satisfied, not just in the presence of each other, but also first and foremost in the presence of God. Finally, let's lift up the men's retreat this weekend. Let's pray for you know, everyone's schedules who might be hindering them. Let's pray that God's would just release them to be able to freely come, to fly in, to not just come, but even have a good night of rest beforehand on Friday. That they be ready, that God already now is preparing hearts. And let's also lift up Pastor Benjamin, who is the men's retreat speaker, for him to be anointed and for the power of God to be upon him. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for the passage today, where you reveal to us that you can do so much more than we expect in other people's lives, but as well as even in our own lives, Lord, there's so much more. Your ways are so much higher. Your thoughts are so much greater. And help us, Lord, to just be obedient to you, Lord, that even right now, if there's anything that you have convicted us to do, and maybe we haven't done yet, Lord, that we would have the faith and boldness just to obey, Lord. So, Lord, help us to hear, help us to step out in faith, Lord. And we know that you're always with us, Lord, and we want to experience more of you, experience more. So, Lord, I just want to bless everyone here today, Lord, that they would be able to experience more. They would be able to discern your will and your heart. They will be able to see with your eyes, God, of what's going on and what to do, even as you move, Lord. And I just bless everyone here today with your favor upon them and opportunities to come where they can step out in faith. And in those opportunities, they would also recognize it is an opportunity as well, Lord. So I bless everyone here. Bless your spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and to stay connected throughout the day. And that would be Holy Spirit, that would be the one to lead you this day, lead your mind, body, and your soul. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Please feel free to continue to pray and enjoy your time with God.